With the rising cost of goods and services, inflation marches steadily onward. These increases result in hardships for many, but especially upon individuals and families with fixed incomes. There are so many demands on each available dollar that constant adjustments are necessary to make ends meet. One frustrated person remarked, "I just get my affairs to the point where I think I can make ends meet when something breaks loose in the middle." Centuries ago, the Lord, through a prophet, gave a formula that gives a solution for these problems when he said to Malachi, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Frequently we hear the expression, "I can't afford to pay tithing." Persons who make such statements have not yet learned that they cannot afford not to pay tithing. There are many members who from experience can and do testify that 9/10 carefully planned, budgeted, and spent wisely with the blessings of the Lord will go much farther than 10/10 spent haphazardly without planning and without the Lord's blessing. The payment of tithing is a test of our faithfulness and loyalty. President Joseph F. Smith many years ago counseled, "By this principle, that is of tithing, the loyalty of the people of the church shall be put to the test. By this principle, it shall be known who is for the kingdom of God and who is against it." Often the question is asked, what is a tithe? Joseph L. Worthland, former presiding bishop of the church, gave a clear, definite explanation when he defined it this way. The very word itself denotes one-tenth. A tithe is one-tenth of the wage earner's full income. A tithe is one-tenth of the professional man's net income. A tithe is one-tenth of the farmer's net income, and also one-tenth of the produce used by the farmer to sustain his family. This is a just and equitable requirement, as others purchase out of their income such food as is needed to provide for their families. A tithe is one-tenth of the dividends derived from investments. A tithe is one-tenth of net insurance income, less premiums if tithing has been paid on the premiums. Several presidents of the church have explained that the payment of tithing is an individual and a personal matter, that is a voluntary contribution. Brigham Young in the early days of the church taught the saints by saying, "We do not ask anyone to pay tithing unless they are disposed to do so. But if you pretend to pay tithing, pay it like honest men." Years later, President Grant advised the people in these words, "The Lord, you know, does not send collectors around once a month to collect bills. He does not send us our account once a month. We are trusted by the Lord. We are agents. We have our free will." Now, there is merit in paying tithing when one receives the income or the increase. Although farmers and others operating their own business usually find it necessary to calculate their increase on an annual basis. So again, President Grant, speaking from years of experience and observation, suggested, "The payment of our tithing in the season thereof, when we get our increase, makes it come easy. I find that those who pay tithing every month have much less difficulty in paying it than those who postpone payment to the end of the year." The law of tithing has come from the Lord as a commandment. And when we keep that law and commandment, we are entitled to the blessings that are promised. For the Lord has said, I, the Lord, am bound when ye do what I say. But when ye do not what I say, ye have no promise. In the early days of the church, there was a good and faithful woman, Mary Smith, widow of the martyred patriarch Hiram Smith. She firmly believed in the promises of the Lord. Her son Joseph F. and her grandson Joseph Fielding lived to become presidents of the church. President Joseph F. Smith related an incident that occurred when he was a 10-year-old boy. I recollect most vividly, he said, a circumstance that occurred in the days of my childhood. My mother was a widow with a large family to provide for. One spring when we opened our potato pits, she had her boys get a load of the best potatoes, and she took them to the tithing office. Potatoes were scarce that season. I was a little boy at the time and drove the team. When we drove up to the steps of the tithing office, ready to unload the potatoes, one of the clerks came out and said to my mother, Widow Smith, it's a shame you should have to pay tithing. He chided my mother, called her anything but wise and prudent, and said, there were others who were strong and able to work that were supported from the tithing office. My mother turned upon him and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Would you deny me a blessing? If I did not pay my tithing, I should expect the Lord to withhold his blessings from me. I pay my tithing not only because it is the law of God, but because I expect a blessing by doing it. By keeping this and other laws, I expect to prosper and to be able to provide for my family. I recall sitting in this historical tabernacle back in October 1948 when the semi-annual conference of the church was in session. Elder Matthew Cowley of the Council of Twelve was speaking. He related an incident that made a deep and lasting impression upon me. While serving as the president of New Zealand Mission, he visited a good Maori sister who sincerely believed and observed the principle of tithing. Brother Cowley told of this experience in these words. Now on one occasion I called in, as I always did when visiting in that vicinity, to see this grand little woman, then in her 80s and blind. She did not live in an organized branch and had no contact with the priesthood except as the missionaries visited there. We had no missionaries in those days. They were away at war. I went in and greeted her in the Maori fashion. She was out in the backyard by her little fire. I reached forth to shake hands with her, and I was going to rub noses with her. And she said to me, do not shake hands with me. I said, oh, that is clean dirt on your hands. I'm willing to shake hands with you. I'm glad to. I want to. She said, no, not yet. Then she got on her knees, hands and knees, and crawled over to her little house. At the corner there was a spade. She lifted up that spade and crawled off in another direction. Measuring the distance, she went. She finally arrived at a spot and started digging down into the soil with a spade. It finally struck something hard. She took the soil out with her hands and lifted out a fruit jar. She opened the fruit jar and reached down into it, took something out and handed it to me. And it turned out to be New Zealand money. In American money, it would have been equivalent to about $100. She said, there is my tithing. Now I can shake hands with the priesthood of God. Brother Cowley said, you do not owe that much tithing. She said, I know it. I do not owe it now, But I am paying some in advance, for I do not know when the priesthood of God will get around this way again. Then, after a brief pause and with considerable emotion, Brother Cowley continued, "And then I leaned over and pressed my nose and forehead against hers, and the tears from my eyes ran down her cheeks. My beloved brethren and sisters, the Lord does keep his promises. He truly opens the windows of heaven and pours out his blessings upon those who are faithful and who obey his commandments. But it will be done in his own way. These blessings may come in a financial or temporal way, or may be realized by a spiritual outpouring, bringing strength, peace, and comfort. His blessings may come in unusual and unexpected ways, so that at the time we may not even recognize them as blessings. But the promises of the Lord will be kept. And to this I testify in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.